It's Mike Shope.
We were having a very serious conversation about mayonnaise here.
And the Bulldog.
And don't even talk to me about weed.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Well, there's no shortage of these sort of betting props anymore. It's the world. But I did find another one today that I kind of liked. Put Bulldog to the test here.
All right. Sorry, didn't have my mic on.
Over under wins by division.
Okay.
Where would the AFC East rank?
Wow.
On this list.
22. Where would they rank on this list? Not high. They've got two teams that maybe together will win five or six games. So that has to, out of the eight divisions, I'm going to say that they are seventh.
Yeah, pretty much eighth even, tied.
Okay. All right.
They have the second longest odds to have the most wins of any division. The NFC South is lower. Last year, eight won that division.
Right.
So, but if you take the over-under win totals, they're tied with the NFC South for the lowest. You want to guess what the number would be?
Twenty-nine and a half.
Okay. Good guess.
I was given Buffalo and New England 11, and then six more.
Miami and the Jets only three each.
Yeah.
They play each other twice.
Yeah.
Look out.
that's a good point. I guess good point. Somebody's gonna win those games.
I just always want to be open to, because it happened like almost every year, the possibility that some team nobody likes will be good.
I like that too.
And these bad teams, I mean, Miami for sure, the Raiders, yes, although they're starting with Cousins, he's new there anyway, Geno with the Jets, especially Miami, where you just have not seen it yet. You don't know. I mean, there is a chance that Malik Willis will be good.
Yes, there is.
And that all their roster depletions, that he might be good enough. I'm not talking about even the playoffs necessarily, but that he might be good enough that, you know, they're okay.
Even with the lousy roster around him, that they could win six or seven games,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, right? Or more. I mean,
that
yes.
That would be, to me, like that would be a very surprising outcome for them this year. Because I feel like I'm even, I don't know, I would guess, I mean, obviously the odds makers take everything into account. I'm considering that he is decent. I just think there's so little else there, you know, unless they just somehow have the market cornered on hidden gems all around. I mean, the fact that they signed, how did I say it? Like an eighth of their roster turned over on cutdown day. They had seven waiver claims.
It's a good idea.
There's just almost no way that is going to be. It might be better than what they had, but holy cow. I just can't imagine a good season there.
Yeah, right. I mean, when I say it's a good idea, I don't think it's going to save them, but that's what you should do, I think.
Churn.
This is like a Sabres point for me back in the Sabres drought. Like, why? Because you'd have somebody would get waived. And you'd have Jonathan Willis and three other people be like, actually, this guy, you know, good possession player. Here's the value. But the Sabres were just often, I mean, rarely would they dabble in that. And I don't know, I just felt like they were missing out. Not that they would have been great, but you're probably missing out on value.
Yeah.
Easy to say it.
You're at least representing that you don't need to try everything. Like, we're above this. I don't know. Are you really?
That's exactly.
You haven't been in the playoffs in 12 years, you know, at one point in the draw. Like, maybe you should not be thinking things are beneath you.
Maybe you don't have the problem in the, or the answer in the room.
Right.
You know, it's right. Gergensen's, right? It's,
yeah.
He, you know, unfairly to him maybe, but he became this.
Oh, yeah.
That they couldn't quit him. They were never good. And they even, in terms of Adams anyway, back then, not even that long ago, right? 2 years ago, was just almost offended.
Really, really.
By the idea
yes.
that, like, you should make a change there.
Really defended him publicly and privately, too. I mean, he really wanted people to know. He thought you were wrong if you thought. And listen, the funny thing about me with that is, like, Gerns is still playing. Like, he'll play for Tampa on their third line again this year. He's not a player that lacks value to as a depth player on an NHL team. It's just the symbolism of continuing to run it back with someone who isn't having any real. He wasn't killing you, but he was not helping you either. It was just there. He was just there. Mostly, I would say. And I think that's mostly what he is in Tampa. You can count on him. He's going to kill you some penalties, and okay. Just try somebody else, anybody else. Like, just do something. Instead of like, oh, no, he's the glue to our room.
Unglue the room.
Well, yeah, maybe. Yeah,
no
maybe,
more glue.
Maybe get a heat gun and melt the glue and start building a new room. I don't know. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's. The Tampa point is simply, I mean, I think it was maybe a little, ran a little bit deeper than this, but just like they have established something that the Sabres were the opposite of for so many years. And, you know, there are personal relationships. And one of Kevin Adams' complaints about the criticism was just like, you don't know how much he cares. And I was thinking to myself, I don't care how much he cares. No offense. It's not really what the next guy might care too. And, right. You know, be better.
Yeah.
And just sort of the combination of the frustration, like we're holding on to your own guys when you're just losing all the time, and then what that looks like to the fans, which really is more our area. It should be theirs too, but this is where we're not speaking for everybody. It's just you just sort of roll your eyes at some of that stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can put almost anybody into the Lightning room and have it look good.
Yeah. You're probably going to assimilate, or you're not going to be there very long. Probably when you've got that kind of, you know, the standard is the standard, and it's, you know, it's a different thing. I think. Yeah, I never liked being like I felt like it was the right point. I don't need to say more about Gerns. I can save it for some other time.
Wait a minute, I had a lot more.
I was about to go into a whole thing about, but it doesn't need to be aired right now. I'm going to stop myself. I'm editing myself right here is what I'm doing.
Will he be somebody that shows up at alumni stuff in the future? Like in 5 years, come meet Zemgus Girgensons at the Galleria. He's giving out keychains.
I could see that. He was here for how many years?
I mean, 10?
He's had a very good career.
It is 10.
For someone who doesn't, you know, again, produce, you know, hockey card stats for you, he's had a really nice career.
He has exactly 100 goals in his career. Would you have guessed higher or lower? 12 years.
Yeah, no, I mean, sure. It's not like he never scored. He just, you know, 10 a year is about it, right? That's what we're talking about.
Pretty much, that's
right?
The average.
8 to 10 a year, yeah. All right, well, you brought up another Girgensons point. I'm sorry, you've left the door open. I always felt a little defensive about him because that's not really quite right. When I was in Dubuque, when Owen had a minute in the USHL, he played a home game in Des Moines and then took a bus ride the next day to Dubuque. And I didn't follow the bus, but I went on that trip. I was in Des Moines. Dubuque was on the way back home mostly. It was a little north, but still, it was east of Des Moines. So, all right, it's a Saturday night game in Dubuque. I'll spend the night in Dubuque and then drive home Sunday morning. And so I go, and Dubuque, they have this beautiful, at the time, I'm sure it's still pretty nice, only 5 or 6 years ago now, really nice rink. Like, it looks like a high-end college rink that the Dubuque Fighting Saints play in. And on one of the concourses, they have like banners with all the guys who have gone from there on to play in the NHL. And so there's a Girgensons banner there, and I took a picture of it and posted it on Twitter, like, you know, wow, you know, pretty cool. And I got more than one. I don't know, it wasn't 10 or 20, but I got more than one, like, man, that franchise must have some history if they're honoring Zemgus Girgensons. And I'm like, it's a junior team, you jackwagon. He played here as a 17 and 18-year-old and then pretty much went right to the NHL. Like, if you don't think that's a success story for a junior hockey team, like, you got to adjust your standards. Like, he's one of the biggest stars that team has produced. I mean, you know, he just is. he's had a 12-year career in the NHL. At the time, he was in the middle of that career, I guess. It's long enough ago. But, like,
of course there would be an homage to
of
him.
Of course there would be. I mean, I know he's not Johnny Gaudreau, but, like, he played there and is in the NHL. If you're a team in the USHL or the NAHL, like, you are honoring that. You'd be nuts not to. I'm sure the Wichita Falls, whatever they're called, team. No, wait. Where did Hellebuck played in the NAHL and it was in Texas.
Oh yeah.
And now I can't remember which town it was. Hmm. But whatever. Like I didn't. It couldn't.
Want
have
me
been
to start guessing?
It couldn't have been
Texas towns.
No, don't do that. I'm sure it wasn't Wichita Falls because I was in that rink and I would have seen something for him. So I don't think it was there. But whatever. Maybe it was and I just didn't see it. Doesn't matter. You raise that up. You know, it's
how about Odessa?
Okay, yes, the Jackalopes.
The Jackalopes?
Yes, that was the...
That's a thing, that's a real thing.
That was the team name when Owen was there, and I assume it was back then.
Not the Jack Wagons.
No, the Jackalopes.
Before mentioned, this is the Jackalopes. That's a real thing.
It's a horned rabbit.
Yes, it is.
Damn straight.
And you know what? The world is better off with there being horned rabbits, I think.
I don't think there's enough horned rabbits.
I think that we need more.
Maybe they could do some good. Turn things around right quick.
He went 1-3, Hellebuck, for Odessa. He
only played four games there?
Well, that's what I'm looking at. Then he went to UMass Lowell.
Wow.
And was amazing, apparently.
Yeah, all right. I always read it like he had a decorated career there or something, and I didn't realize it was not that much.
But they would still have some sort of picture
of
him
would.
In there.
Absolutely they would.
He stopped by.
No question.
I'm in a lot of these rinks in Ontario, and anybody, like you just expect it. And anybody who played in the league, there could be a picture of him, or there could be, you know, a list somewhere, like a roster of alums, or even a banner. You know, you see.
Yeah, yeah.
That?
No, I've got 53 games in 11-12 with the Odessa Jackalopes.
I have four.
Maybe you had playoff games or something. I don't know what, but
Okay.
He played a full season there and then went to UMass Lowell from there. Yeah.
We need to get another update over to Hockey Reference.
Yes. Elite Prospects is where you need to go for that. That's where I am. He's got his whole junior everything.
In the Olympics, he went 5-0 with a save percentage of .956 and a goals against average of 1.18.
Is that good?
That seemed good. Yeah, that was good.
Is that a high-pressure situation?
Yes. 2015, what's WC? World Championships?
Yep, that would be that, I think, yeah.
7-1, .948. Is he coming to the Sabres?
I don't know. There was a Chris Johnston thing earlier today that I never saw. Like I think it was a radio appearance or a podcast or something where my understanding is he said the Sabres would like to reengage. Thank you. In this, Chad Dedeminisis with expected Buffalo, who's got some level of, you know, inside at the Sabres, said he was told no flatly when he asked about it. So those are obviously in conflict. So I don't know. I got to admit, I like there was a little bump when I saw the Chris Johnston thing. Like, oh, okay, all right, here we go. Come on. You know, a little like that. And then Chad right away, like, sorry to be the one to tell you this, but this is what I heard. So it's still, you know.
Is it because the Sabres can't do it or they just don't want to? I mean, everybody thinks he wants to leave. He said it. So there's no question about that. And Winnipeg might just be kind of stale and not functioning right, you know, I think. But, I mean, the Sabres could be either. One of my first conclusions about all this was the way that the news cycle was going, we kept hearing about him and Buffalo being, interested. And it just seemed to me that that must have been legitimate. Like, there's just no reason for... Here are the Sabres coming off the year they just had. If they wanted to throw water on the Hellebuck idea, they could have done that in one day. We love our goalies. Next. Mm-hmm. Like, that would have been just easy to do. And then if they didn't do that publicly, which would have been easy to do, they could easily just tell Elliot Friedman, and that's the end of it. But that didn't happen. So right. I've always thought they're interested, and maybe even were pretty close or are pretty close, but they just maybe can't do what Winnipeg needs or won't.
Or, refuse. I don't know. I there's a few things. I mean, I won't give the whole Vincent Trocheck speech, but I feel like I as close to know that they were working on something that would have required them backfilling the roster with experienced NHLers because of what they were going to give up in the trade. I also think the Luukkonen piece of that after July 1st could have made it way more challenging for them to make Winnipeg whole, because I would totally expect and understand that Winnipeg would have wanted Luukkonen back. He's a young goaltender, reasonable enough contract, especially with the cap doing what the cap is doing. And so that piece falls through. I don't know. Can the Sabres maybe not find somewhere to park Luukkonen if they want to divest themselves or they couldn't figure out a three-way trade? I don't know. I'm inclined to believe that there is still smoke there because of a lot of what you just said. I mean, I think they wanted to do it. I think they might be playing hard to get now. Perhaps what Chad is hearing or anyone else is hearing no from the Sabres is just posturing. We don't want to give off the impression that we're in on this because we want Winnipeg to come crawling back to us because they messed this up the first time. We should have had a deal and we didn't. And now circumstances have changed. No move clauses have taken effect. And we also can't go get Vincent Trocheck or whatever we thought was a good idea to replace any of the parts we were giving up. And so the cost has to come down to where we're not going to miss what we're going to give up that we can't replace now with proven NHL players. So it just all got a lot more complicated because of that. So I guess I would expect the Sabres to be waiting for the price to get to more to their liking. And maybe they feel like the longer we wait with a deadline of training camp out there, not that a deadline is set, but like, you know, if Hellebuyck shows up, this all kind of cools off. If he doesn't, we're probably talking about it again, and all the big wigs like Chris Johnson are taking their turn at, like, what's happening, who's hearing what, is our teams lining up, is it a desert out there, who's in, who's out, that kind of thing. Maybe that all gets heated up again in another week once we get to report dates. But the whole thing got a lot harder to do once everybody else made their moves. So that might be the thing. Like, the Sabres don't make the Connor Hellebuyck trade. I am not, and somebody else does. I am not going to just assume, oh, they were never in on it at all. Because some of the stuff, as I said,
totally.
It makes too much sense for a variety of reasons. And not just, I wish they wanted a better goalie. It's not one of the reasons, right? I feel like there's legitimate reason to think that they were there. And also not just the reporting. So could they, to me, it's very realistic. I'm choosing to take Chris Johnston to some extent to heart. I think it would not make sense if the Sabres weren't revisiting it. But will they get it done? I mean, I don't know.
They shouldn't want to be annoying about it. You don't have to call them every day.
Right.
You know? Re-engage. It's almost to camp. Hey, we're still, you know, if you thought about us. It's one where I think what you do is don't trade them. Call us first.
Right.
You know, and if they have... That's how it should be. That way you stay in Winnipeg, in this case. You stay in, you know, their top of mind. And it's good for Winnipeg because then maybe they can get a bidding war going or something. Mm-hmm. Maybe that still happens here. But, yep, his name was right back on Twitter today. It is close. The prospects thing is Sunday. And Monday with Boston.
And there's not, like, we've been through some of this, but, like, I wouldn't rule out Colorado. I wouldn't rule out Las Vegas. Like, Colorado's got a $5.5 million goaltender. They move one other roster player. They've made the room for Connor Hellebuyck, at least for this year. They've got a huge Makar contract coming on the books next year, but right now he's under contract for the old price, and like they totally could do that. That's a team that has a stacked roster, and even having to give up a $3 million or more player to make room, along with the goalie making $5.5 million, they could pull it off. And that's a team that hasn't met expectations. I mean, they had an incredible regular season, and they got beat. because it's hockey and it's the playoffs. But they could look at Hellebuck as like, okay, that's the last piece. Let's go win another cup.
I would think they would. And I would think, too, that Winnipeg might be trying, if this needs to happen, trying to convince suitors the value of having this player to the fan base, you know, to jersey sales and whatever else. Like, he would be a moneymaker. Off that Olympic Games, he's already won 3 Vezina trophies, won a heart. Like, that, now he won the gold medal. I think that would go a long way. Not all these teams are desperate for that. It's still money. And I think that would apply here. You can tell me how the Sabres have cut off season ticket sales or whatever else. It's a Wednesday night in November. Is he in goal tonight? Because I would love to get in there and take a look at him in a Sabres uniform. Like, that would be a big story every day if they had him. Mm-hmm. And he'd play the majority of the games, but is he going to play this one?
Mm-hmm.
We'd talk about that, you know, all the time. Ross Tucker is back with us this season and joined us earlier to sort of get everybody excited for the season. He's got the Bills and Texans on Sunday for CBS, by the way. That's coming up next. This is WGR.